hit that wrong key. So, okay. Daniel chapter number four tonight. Daniel chapter number four tonight. We're leaving the devotions from Sunday out there in case you didn't get a chance to get them. And I know that some, obviously, not everyone's taking one, and that's fine. But I've been encouraged by a number of people, especially people that are maybe not faithful members of our church that have been really encouraged in taking it and telling me how much they're enjoying it and how much they like being a part of what's going on with going through the certain Bible studies and focusing the whole entire, they're getting something out of it. And also as they're learning and reading the Bible and just answering some simple questions, it's been a help to them. So I would encourage you, if you want to be a part of that's great. I would at least tell you, try it one time to see whether or not it's encouragement and a help to you. And Daniel's a little bit different. Most of the weeks we're going to get spend one Sunday on it. Possibly it will boil over to Wednesday. We do have other missionary coming this upcoming month and things like that, so it won't be always this way, and sometimes we'll be in the book of Proverbs also. Daniel just has so many great things when it goes along with it, it's hard to break it down to three different messages. So we're in Daniel chapter number four tonight, and I've been really enjoying Daniel a little bit more than I have ever in the past going through it. There's a new perspective. And when I'm looking at this, I'm learning a lot and get some things that God's challenging my heart with. We're going to start with the last verse. Sometimes the best thing to do is to start at the end. And I think at the end, it actually, Nebuchadnezzar here's, I believe the author, obviously under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Nebuchadnezzar in that last phrase kind of just puts everything in perspective. And it's a really long title for tonight, but this is the title of the message. It's the last line that's found at the end of verse number 37. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And we see here in the story about Daniel, we see these Hebrew children that are living in a pagan culture, a pagan society. And we see how God has gone and God is revealing himself to not only to Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but also Nebuchadnezzar. You think about it, in Daniel chapter number one, Daniel and the three Hebrew children, they purpose in their heart. Because they purpose in their heart, they do not want to defile themselves. And because they do not want to defile themselves, they want to bring glory to God. And we see in chapter one, Nebuchadnezzar comes and looks at everybody and looks at the whole group of people that were brought, the thousands that were brought. And he points at those four and says, you know what? Those four are 10 times better. Why is that any different than the rest? It's because they want to bring glory and honor to their God. And then we see continuing chapter number two, there is that dream that he has, and he demands of all the best and the brightest, all the magicians, astrologers, all those philosophers, all those wise men, tell me the dream and interpret the dream or you're dead. And once again, God uses Daniel. Daniel tells him the dream, interprets the dream, warns Nebuchadnezzar at the end. He's on his face worshiping the one true God. He, once again, God is revealing himself. God is showing himself, making himself known to not only Nebuchadnezzar here, not only to what he can do in the Hebrew children's life, but all those astrologers, all those magicians, everybody seeing what's happening and they're realizing there's something special about these guys. Chapter number three comes along. What happens again? Same type of thing. Nebuchadnezzar thinks he's all big and bad, and Nebuchadnezzar wants everybody to bow down to the idols. These three Hebrew children says, I'm not going to defile myself. You can change my name, you can change my location, but no matter what, I'm not going to defile myself, and I'm not going to bow down. And they get thrown into the fiery furnace. And in chapter number three, what are they doing again? Nebuchadnezzar's there, he's bowing down, he's worshiping the one true God. Well, in chapter number four, there's another dream that happens. And in chapter number four, he is given an ultimatum through this dream. And because of that, God deals with this man's pride. And he shows him his pride. And if you look in verse number 17 in chapter number four, it kind of gives you the idea of what the dream and the purpose of the dream is. This is found more than once. But look what it says in verse 17. The matter, chapter 4, Daniel, verse 17. This matter is by decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones. Look at this. To the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth it up over in the basis of men. And so he's saying he wants men to understand something. Nebuchadnezzar might be sitting on the earthly throne, but there is a God that sits on the heavenly throne, the throne of this world. So you say, what are you learning from this that might be different? Well, what God's been working in my heart about is not just purposing in my heart that I don't want things that defile me. I'm purposing my heart. I don't want certain things. I won't allow certain things in my life to defile me. And I want to bring glory and honor to God in my life. So what I've been doing, what I've been prayerfully considering is my relationship situations and asking God this question, how can you get the most glory out of this? What is the way you can get the most glory out of what I'm going through right now? Whatever it is, if it's something I'm dealing with in my family, something I'm dealing with inside my church family, something I'm dealing with outside of my church family, there's many relationships and situations that are in all our lives. And I'm asking God as going through this prayer list and saying, God, will you tell me, show me what it is that will bring you most glory? I am tired of trying to bring myself glory and do things my own way, but I'm looking at this and I'm asking myself, is this my intention in my life is to try to bring glory and honor to God in this situation? Instead of just saying, I'm going to do it my own way, this is the way it has to be done, I want to, as Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego purposed in their heart, they were not going to defile themselves. And so the question is, should I forgive? Should I forbear? Should I confront? Should I give? Or should I serve? Should I speak up? Should I remain silent? All those different things are found, and there's different options. And one option is not right versus the other one being wrong. But it's saying, God, in this situation, in this life, with this individual, with this person, what can I do to bring glory and honor to your name? Not what I think is right all the time, not what I'm dealing with. No, what can I do? What can I say? And sometimes when I react, I think to myself, I didn't do that to bring glory and honor to God. Well, what does the Bible say? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. It says in Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We are created for the pleasure of God. So how does God take pleasure in us? Herein is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So in my prayer life, when I'm looking at different things and I'm praying about different things and different situations and how I'm going to deal with people and individuals and matters, the question is no longer, you know, what do I think is right? What do I think is best? Trying to convince God what I should or should not do. Instead, it's God, here's the situation. What is the best way I can bring glory to you with that person, with what's going on? What's the best way I can bring glory to you when it comes to my finances? What's the best way I can bring glory to you when it comes to my life and my actions? And tonight, when we look at this, pride is something that taints or defiles so many, and they don't even realize it. It's something that they do not understand. They do not see it as a problem, and it's something that they struggle with. And because of that, it is a very, very dangerous thing. One of the nights of at our junior camp, the title of the message was, Pride Will Harm You. Pride will harm you. And the story obviously is kind of cool. You know, they give him, Nebuchadnezzar is given the heart of the beast, and he goes out there and he eats grass. You know, that is something that is going to catch the young people's attentions. But at the same time, this got their attention when I just read some verses and listened to what it says. Pride, it says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is something the Bible says goes before destruction. So what does the word pride mean? Pride means arrogance. Means thinking highly of oneself. One way is described as self-worship. It's like, wow, self-worship. I would never worship myself. And then I began thinking, what does it mean to worship self? It means that I think better and I think I should do it my way instead of God's way. God deserves my worship. God deserves my praise. And so if I, instead of praising and worshiping him, I choose to do it myself in my way because I think I know better, who am I worshiping at that time? I'm putting myself, I'm worshiping myself. We don't like it when people worship the creature more than the creator. And we think about those heinous sins and those bad sins, and when people have taken the truth and they turn them into lies, and we sit there and, but what about ourselves when we turn around and think, I know what the Bible says, but I choose not to do it. I am choosing to do what I want to because I think I know what's best. I am putting my value above God when it comes to this situation. That's what Nebuchadnezzar does. And that's why Nebuchadnezzar at the end says what? He says, those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. He is definitely able to humble you. The proud means they appear like they're above others. They think better than others. They know better than others. Abase means to humble, to put down. So Nebuchadnezzar is making this statement at the end. He's saying, look, if you have pride, he can bring you down. If you have pride, he can bring you low. Think about some of these verses that just speak about the dangers of pride. Pride goeth before destruction. Destruction is not a pretty word. When we think about destroying something, but it's saying in our lives, it will destroy our lives in a haughty spirit before a fall. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. One of the little junior campers went home and told, whether it was a parent or grandparent, says, you know what? Pride comes before shame. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be shameful. And didn't even really understand what they were saying. But it's like, that is, it's a shame. If we don't deal with our pride, it will bring shame to our lives. The Bible says, but God resists, God giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I don't know how much clearer God can put it. He is going to resist you. He is going to say, I don't want to bless. I don't want to work. He is resisting a person that is prideful and a person who is proud. And then he even goes as far as saying, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And that's written in Philippians chapter number 2. It's talking about just a few verses later, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Pride is probably one of the greatest problems amongst our churches today, because it is the beginning, it's the plant, it's the roots of sin that springs up in our hearts and lives when we feel like there we do not have to be humble before God. And he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And we see lots of things be done through strife and vainglory. And what we need to do is get to our relationships and say, hey, God, how can you get glory out of this? And I don't think he's ever going to say, hey, I think you should go start some strife. I think you should do this just to bring glory to yourself, to make yourself look good so everybody else knows who's in charge, because I'm going to throw my weight around. It's not found there. He says, let nothing be done through fight, strife, and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Even the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And the first one that comes out is pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So in the lesson, and with the junior campers in the lesson, I want you to bring across, pride is a very dangerous, very harmful thing. It's something we must deal with. We must ask God. You say, Pastor, how do I know if I'm being prideful? And that's the question. That's the key. Then you say, well, Pastor, what am I supposed to be? You know, we talk about America, 4th of July. People's like, well, I'm proud to be American. And we understand what they're saying. I understand that. But pride is never mentioned in the Bible in a good light. And so it's, you know, thankful to be an American, those type of things. And I know why people say they're proud to be American. People even sometimes sing about the pride that's found in there. But we must always remember, we know where everything comes from. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. I love it in Jeremiah where it says this. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He says, I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many things you have, how many possessions you have. Don't you dare glory in that. Do not take your praise and honor that. If you want to be thankful for something, if you want to glory in something, he says, glory in the fact that you know who I am. That is the greatest thing that you can know, is who God is, and that you understand and know me, that I am the Lord that exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. From these things do I delight, saith the Lord. So tonight's message is dealing with a man with his pride. And I guess the question that I think we all, at least for me, that I've been thinking about is, he didn't get the hint in chapter number 1. Didn't get the hint in chapter number 2, didn't get the hint in chapter number 3, and we're here in chapter number 4, he gets another hint and he still doesn't get it. He actually has to go out into a field and have that heart of the beast to get it right. So what are you saying? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying some of us are stubborn. Some of us do not get it the first time or the second time or the third time or the fourth time, and we just still, and you say, well, Pastor, well, Does you mean that everything that bad happens to a person means that they're sinning? No, that's not it at all. We think about the story. Who do we learn about Daniel? Did Daniel get in trouble because he did something wrong? No, completely the opposite. God used him to bring glory to his name. Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do something wrong, and that's the reason why they were getting thrown in the fiery furnace? No, obviously not. But Nebuchadnezzar, in his pride and in his lifting himself up, ignores God's warning here, warning there, warning there, and warning there. And God, because of the fact he wants Nebuchadnezzar to understand what it said in chapter 4, verse 17, he allows this massive thing to happen. And I see it happen sometimes in people's lives. God's trying to get a hold of their attention. This happens. It can't be me. I'm just suffering for Jesus' sake. And then something else happens. Well, I'm just suffering for Jesus' sake. And, you know, they think that all the bad things that are happening in this world is because of the fact that they're doing what is right and they're doing what is honorable and what is good, even though they act fleshly at times. So you say, Pastor, how can I know if I'm being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or if I'm being Daniel? Or if I'm being Nebuchadnezzar? Now, let's be honest. Would that be really hard to pick up? You see Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the excellent spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you know, all those different things in their lives. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to drink that. Over here, you got Nebuchadnezzar conquering the world, doing what everybody says. If you don't bow, I'm going to kill you, throw you in a fiery furnace. Is it really hard to see the person that's producing the fruit of the spirit and the person that's producing the fruit of the flesh? It really isn't. We like to think that because we don't like to think badly about ourselves. But the reality is, if there's things that are coming into our lives, that sometimes God allows things to happen, allows things to come across our paths on purpose to try to get our hearts right. Like sometimes our families are falling apart. And sometimes, you know, our relationships, they never seem to go right. It seems like no one ever likes me. And I get to it. And like I said, it's not because of the fact, it's not always because of sin. But sometimes it is. I would tell you, more often it is. So when you're looking at your life and you're going before the Lord and you're getting on your face and you're humbly asking God, God, these things are happening in my life. Are they happening because of some type of sin I've had? And I have people that are honestly coming to me sometimes and ask me, usually a person who is sincere and who loves the Lord and is bearing the fruits of the Spirit and like someone that you would consider maybe that lived their life more like a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, someone who is bearing the fruits of the Spirit, trying not to defile themselves. I'm dealing with cancer, or I lost this one, this relationship I've been trying to reach. They have spiritual interest in their heart and mind. They're saying, is this because of sin? And I said, well, that's only between you and the Lord. I don't know of any known sin in my life. I said, pray, seek after God, things like that. And then there's the others that allow thing to happen after it happened and happened and happened, and they don't realize God's trying to get a hold of their attention. God's trying to say, hey, look, there's a problem here. There's something that needs to be fixed. There's an issue here, and they just choose to ignore it. So tonight, what it says at the end of chapter number 4, those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. He is able to get to the spot where he can humble us. Sometimes it's a hard thing. Hey, think about it. I was going through discipleship this morning, and I'm going through discipleship of a different couple that's new to our church. And in the last statement, it says, you will know that you are growing as a Christian as you become more like your Christ in day-to-day situations. And I thought that was good because it applied to this. You know, we were saying, I don't think I'm like Nebuchadnezzar. Obviously, I don't have this kingdom. I don't think so highly about myself. If God did this in my life, I would definitely step up. Are you becoming more like Christ day by day? That's how you can tell if you're growing closer. I see it in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel's life, at least what we know about them. We see the stand they took. We see the spirit they took it with. They see that they didn't want to defile themselves. They see that they treated the king honorably, and God used them in a special way. And then you come across this guy, Nebuchadnezzar, who God has multiple times tried to get his attention over and over and over. And what does he say? Nope, I'm the one that built this kingdom. It was by my strength, by my might. And sometimes people's worlds are falling apart and they turn around and they're like, I don't understand why my relationship with my family's bad. I don't really understand why my relationship with my friends are bad. I don't understand why my relationship with God, I'm not hearing from him. I don't see why God is not blessing, why God's not working. And it was, this message was supposed to coincide with Sunday morning, because on Sunday morning we might look at all the different things that God has tried to do to get America's attention. Sort of like in Amos chapter number 4, he did this with Israel, and then he says, prepare to meet thy God. You didn't get it right. And so often in our lives, I want us to sit there, I want us to be completely honest before the Lord and humbly go before him and just say, God, I want you to get glory out of my life. Show me what that is. Even if it means I need to start treating this other person differently. Even if it means I have to admit that I was wrong. Even if it means that sometimes I have to learn to forgive or forbear. Even if it means sometimes that I have to let somebody do something to me or, mistreat me and not get to react the way I want to. Lord, show me here and now how you want me to bring glory. And that's what I asked him about this message. I said, God, I want you to bring glory in your name here. And I want to do those things that please you. Because in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies be at peace with him. And some people's like, well, the reason why I'm struggling so much is because everybody else is wrong and I'm right. That's where the pride many times comes in. Now, is Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing alone? Yes, they are. Are they amongst a bunch of other people that claim to know God? No, they're not. So when you're thinking about it in your life, if God's bringing things in your heart, your life, situations, he's trying to get a hold of your attention, it's not always because of sin. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, if they actually loved the Lord before they got to Babylon, they were not the trouble in Judah. They were not the reason why God allowed Babylon, as it says in chapter Daniel 1, I think it's in verse 1. He gave Judah, Jerusalem or Judah into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar because of their sin. So it's not Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's not because of their sin. But at the same time, Nebuchadnezzar is getting what he's getting right now completely because he has refused to not, he does know who God is, he knows of God, but he's not believe that God is the one in control. So let's jump in here. Let's tell the story. I know that this is one of those Bible stories that many of us know already, but still at the same time, I want to read through some of it, probably not all of it, just because how long the chapter is. We're not going to focus on the dream there as much or the imagery that's there, but we're just going to look at the interpretation of the dream, and we're going to see how God tried to get a hold of Nebuchadnezzar and hold in Nebuchadnezzar's heart. But Nebuchadnezzar said no, he had to go live like a beast for 7 years. And when we talk about beasts, nowadays beast sometimes is mentioned in a good way, but it's never mentioned as a good way in the Bible. So let's look here in Daniel chapter number 4. Let's start in verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16. This is towards the end of the dream when Nebuchadnezzar is speaking to Daniel. He says, and this is what the punishment was that they were talking about when they're talking about the watchers and the man of the holy ones, talking about different heavenly things. It says, verse 16, let this heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 times pass over him. So he's saying to the king, the representation of the tree being the king there, he's saying that you're going to get the heart of a beast head for 7 years. You're going to act as the heart of have the heart of a beast, act like a beast. And this matter is done by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it that basis of men. Now, here's the thought here. If they had already done that, Nebuchadnezzar had already done that, Nebuchadnezzar would not have all this pride, and all these other religious people, all these other, everybody else that saw what happened with Daniel, everyone else that saw what happened in chapter 2, everyone else that saw chapter 3, there would be a great revival. We'd have no account of that. And then it says in verse 18, the dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had seen, now thou, O Belteshazzar, declared an interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Once again, he's putting him down just with other gods. As you see that little g god there, he's still saying, hey, you got the holy gods in you. He still doesn't recognize that there is one true God. He will at the end, But let's see what it takes him to realize. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king. So we see here in verse 22, that representation is of Nebuchadnezzar. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet lead the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that thou Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. He wants the world to know this, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will. Nebuchadnezzar was very privileged where he was born, in the relationship with his father, and the kingdom that was given, that he grew and expanded. He says, but all those things only happened because God allowed it. And whereas they commanded to lead the stump of this tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that, thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off the sins, thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So he says, God wants you to understand that it is him that has allowed you to have this kingdom, and that he's the one that rules in heaven. And Daniel tells him exactly how to do that. He says, look, break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy iniquity. And all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. So we see here that the dream happened. He knows it's a supernatural dream. He knows Daniel's interpreted it right. And he's there, and it says at the end of 12 months, there's 12 months of grace there. Some might think he was being a little bit more humble. I think it's more the idea that he is there and he's considering all these things. And he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. It's a beautiful place. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? You see a lot of I's and my in there. He says, all these good things is because of me. And we realize that every good gift and every perfect gift coming from above. And many times we are prideful in our accomplishments and the things that we have in our possessions. And we need to be really careful there, because this is what he's trying to get to King Nebuchadnezzar to understand. He is who he is. He is allowed to do what he's allowed to do only because God allows it. Then it says in verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall they pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. As reminded once again, Nebuchadnezzar, they're trying to teach you something. There is one who rules above you. Yes, you are the one in charge of the world in a sense here, but there is one who rules above you. And you should honor him, and you should worship him, you should live for him. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with dew of heaven till the hairs were grown like eagle feathers, and his nails became nails like bird claws. Think about that. His hair became so long and so matted, it seemed as if it was eagle feathers. and the nails like bird claws. When we were teaching this to the junior campers, they came back to me next day and they said, hey, can we ask you a question? And they were talking about this, and they were talking about the claws and the way, because in our times we had somebody tell the story, and then I would preach about the story later on. And they talked about the feathers, that they were real feathers, and the claws and things like that. And I explained it. Another one of the children were standing there, and he says, well, what would you do first? And he says, what do you mean? Well, after 7 years, he says, you got hair that long and fingernails that long, and you probably smell really bad. Would you get a haircut first? Would you cut your nails first? Would you get a bath first? I said, yes. I said, I do all of them at the same time as quickly as I could. And I says, there's a lot of people that would work for me. So one could be cutting my nails while the other one's doing my hair. And so I would want to get it cleaned up. And their imagination, which is what the story is supposed to help unlock, is that this man was walking around eating grass with hair that looked like feathers, nails that looked like bird claws. And at the end of the day, verse 34, and he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. So he finally gets it. He finally looks at this. And you say, why do you think he got it? Because he's writing this in chapter 4. I really don't think God would take a pagan king and let him write a chapter of the Bible unless he got his heart right. Now, you can disagree with me if you want, but this makes sense to me. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? How often do we do that? We do that in our pride. He is God. He does what he chooses, what he plans. Now, we can ask him why he's doing it. We can say, Lord, I don't understand this. Help me gain glory. You're letting this happen. Show me how you can get glory out of this. This is what I desire. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. So there was still time that he served and was able to do things differently. He said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways, judgments, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Look what he says at the end. He says, all whose works are truth and his ways, judgment. What is he saying about that? That it is all worthy of honor and praise. Everything is right. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. I sit there and I look at that and I think about that. And I'm thinking he had like that prodigal son moment. The prodigal son sitting inside the pig stall. Something happened. Came to himself. You know what? This is dumb. I shouldn't be living for me. There's so much better at the Father's house. Jonah and the whale. He's like, what am I doing here? And then you see Nebuchadnezzar out there eating his morning grass. And it says that he came the same hour in verse number 33. The thing was fulfilled unto Nebuchadnezzar, verse 34. At the end of the days, after 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes into heaven. Do you say, Pastor, you really think that happened? I sure do. The Bible talks about it. And he said, Pastor, why? Now, once again, one of the greatest emperors of all time. Remember, he was the head of gold. Some believe he was the strongest or most powerful for the Nile people that were on the earth at that point in time. And that God demonstrates not only to him, but all those that are his servants, there's other people, all these different things. The whole kingdom knew what happened. And then you have Nebuchadnezzar praising and honoring God. And the question is, what is going to take in our head, in our moment, is going to have that, hey, it's not about me. It's about him. I got to stop living thinking that I am better. I got to stop thinking that everything I do is perfect. I got to stop and I need to ask the Lord, because pride is a very dangerous thing. Pride will bring shame, as we looked at earlier. Not only pride goeth before destruction, the haughty spirit before a fall. And I know these are not fun verses, but it's written over and over. God resists the proud. We don't need God's resistance. So how long and how many things is God going to bring into our lives before we stop and say, God, are you trying to show me something? Now, once again, you could be the Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if that's the case, let's ask God. I'm going through this situation. God, will you please help me bring glory and honor to you? Help me not to defile myself. Help me to do everything I need to do. I don't want to let any of those things defile myself. Even the things I eat and drink, I want to make sure nothing defiles me. Let's be that. But if you feel like you're more like the Nebuchadnezzar side and you had some pride in your heart and some pride in your life, let's not let it get past Daniel 1 when he says, hey, they were 10 times better. Or Daniel 2 when there's interpretation of dream and we realize God is God. How many times has we seen God is God and we believe that God is God, but we never truly get our heart completely right. And we still think, yeah, God is God, but I still know my way. Or get past the Daniel chapter 3 when the fiery furnace happens and we see the situation, everything kind of calms down. Daniel chapter number 4, another dream. There's a year that's there and there's that time we kind of relax and the world doesn't blow up and I don't turn into a beast and all these things doesn't happen, so I don't have to get all the way right. But why do we continue to let thing after thing after thing that happen to us and happen in our lives, and God is trying to get a hold of our attention sometimes and we just keep on ignoring it and ignoring it and ignoring it? It's because we have pride. Remember, pride, I believe, is the basis for all sin. At least you can go back and you can study it out. Well, why do I tell lies? Because I don't want anybody to think lowly of me, or I think I can get away with it. I know Bible tells me to tell the truth. What maybe this begins with the pride. And so tonight, when I look at this and I've been studying through Daniel, I definitely don't want to be the Nebuchadnezzar side. I don't want to be hard-headed and God just keep on bringing the chapter 1 time, the chapter 2 time, the chapter 3 time, and then chapter 4 comes and he has to make my life completely turn upside down before he's ever going to get my attention. And how often did that happen in the Bible? Go to the book of Judges. They went and took over Israel. How many times? They had to get their attention. There are many times and places that we saw things happen that God had to just bring out all the stops before the person was ever going to get their heart all the way right. It just wouldn't happen. Think about Nathan or Nathaniel, whoever it was that came up to David and says, "Thou art the man," and pointed his finger at him. You know what? David had some pride there. David needed to get his heart right. And once again, the prophet was the person that God was using at that point in time. So, yes. Good things, bad things happen to good people. It happened definitely to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life. But we see how God took those things and made an amazing amount of glory to come to his own name. But then you see bad things happen to Nebuchadnezzar, and he doesn't get it right. And because of that, God continued to bring more things into his life till finally something got a hold of his attention. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like that, because it says at the end of chapter number 4, the title for tonight, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He can bring you low. You might say, well, I haven't hit rock bottom yet. You say, well, I'm not in the pig pen. I'm not fighting over a corn husk with a pig. No, you don't have to get there. You can be right today. He's not going to resist you. He's going to give grace to the humble. Humble yourselves before our Almighty God. Let him lift you up. Do not continue on this path that I just don't want to get right. I don't feel like I need to get right. I don't need to change. I don't need to be faithful. I can continue in the way that I'm living. It's not hurting anybody. And then you turn around like Nebuchadnezzar says in his own heart and his own pride when he had the chance. Daniel says in verse number 27, he says, break off thy sins by righteousness and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. And what does Nebuchadnezzar say in verse 30? Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might and my power, of my power, and for the my majesty? Over and over, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. And God said, let's see what you do now. So that's where the thing is. Don't think that you're too highly of yourself. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And it's just important to understand, pride goeth before destruction. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. He says, I don't know how to do that. We have to remove the pride in order to do that. How do we do that? Well, either you do it with God's help, Or like the title of our sermon says, those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. Sometimes people go through physical problems. I don't know why I'm going through this. Talk to God. Once again, you could be the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's trying to get glory. You could be the Nebuchadnezzar. He says, come on, let's get this right. Let's get this settled. We've done this. He said, well, my family doesn't understand me in my spiritual life. Okay. You could be this. Or you could be the guy over here that is trying to act maybe Pharisaical and trying to push off things, and you're not really walking with the Lord, but trying to act super spiritual. You say, well, my finances aren't going right. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel were lifted up over and over. But there are times when missionaries and other people struggle with finances and they just give and the Lord blesses in little bits. Or you could be like Nebuchadnezzar and you're just not using the resources God gives you. There is the two choices there, but it's not very hard to tell, because you know in your own heart, in your own mind, if you go open your heart before the Lord and say, God, please help show me if there is pride in my life, something I need to work on, something, he will reveal it to you. It's not that hard to see the difference between, I've been there before, where I've been to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where I felt like I was the one that was suffering for righteousness' sake, and it was truly for righteousness' sake. I've been this guy over here, Nebuchadnezzar, being prideful and saying, probably more than that, and I just don't want to change. I want to do myself. I want to do my way. And God brings things in our heart, and God brings things in my life, and God smacks you over the head with that 2x4 and says, come on, let's get this right. Don't continue on this way, because when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Well, I don't have shame. Well, in all reality, if you go back and look at your life and see some things you've done, they are shameful sometimes. But if we're prideful, we don't see the shame. Well, there was nothing wrong. I was just a... Now, ask the Lord. Don't ask me. Don't ask somebody else. Go before God. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. He's saying there's danger and destruction and a fall that is coming for those that continue to live with pride. God says, I'm going to resist that. So tonight, I like I said, for me, I've gotten through all this and thought, I definitely don't want to be that. I want to be someone who purposes in their heart, doesn't want to defile themselves, and wants to bring glory to God. So I want to ask myself this question. In this relationship, with this situation, with my church family, with my regular family, God, how can I bring glory to you? What can I do and what can I say? And to be a true mark of a person that's a growing believer means I'm becoming more like Jesus Christ. I'm acting more like Jesus Christ. That's a tell sign. That is a proverbial test. If I'm acting more like him, then more likely I'm on this side. If I'm acting less like him, I'm more likely on this side, and there's something I have to deal with. Tonight, he can humble those, those that walk in pride, he will abase. So let's take care of it ourselves. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. God, you are so good to us. Thank you for these stories. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel has inspired all of us to purpose in our heart that we do not want to let things defile us. Whatever it is, whether it's food and drink, like it talked about in Daniel 1, whether it's music sometimes that defiles, or entertainment that defiles us, or friendships that defile us, or pride that defiles us, whatever it is, God, help us to have good friends, like we talked about on Sunday night, that will stand with us and do what's right. But Lord, also, if we have some pride in our hearts and lives, help us to root that out. Lord, help us to humbly bow before you, asking for your help. And Lord, not have to deal with the chapter 1 experience, chapter 2 experience, chapter 3 experience, and not till chapter 4 after a great tragedy, we've missed all these times and all these moments that we could be right with you, that we could be making a difference, that we could be bringing this world to Jesus Christ. But instead, we didn't learn the first 4 times. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for not leaving us to ourselves. Thank you for caring for us and chastening us when we need it and when we deserve it. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, I do pray that sincerely we walk away saying, Lord, how do you want, what will bring glory to you? Lord, it might mean I have to change what I've been doing, but I want to bring glory to you. Lord, help me to bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.